Good afternoon, fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, broadcasting from the Red Pill Festival in beautiful St. Regis, Montana. Brought to you once again by On Fire Ministries, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left, it's about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, and about not ending in prayer, but moving to action and the gospel of the kingdom. That's why we're here at the Red Pill Festival, in the heart of the American readout. So many God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving Americans here today. It's been fantastic meeting them all. And here's something really interesting. I don't know if the left's going to be surprised at this. I didn't run into a single racist while we were here. Not one. Not a single one. We're here today talking about the real threats to this country and, more importantly, the real solutions. It's my honor to introduce our first guest today, and we're going to have multiple guests for the rest of the hour, Caleb Collier with the John Birch Society. I'll let him tell a little bit about what he's doing, but he is the most successful organizer in the country right now. He's doing a fantastic job, great speech. A lot of people were cheering when you got done. Caleb, thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate you having me on here. I hate to correct you, but I think I'm going to have to just this one time. There are a few racists here because Vice is here. The mainstream media is here.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. So, yeah, they believe in critical race theory and all this. So, self-loathing. So there is just a touch of racism here due to the mainstream media.
You know, it's been hard for me not to go up to the London Times and say, you know, we had to beat you tyrants once. You know, and do we have to do it again? Actually, we beat them twice. Do we have to do it again?
Yeah, well, I bought them some coffee.
Did you really? Good
for
you.
Yeah, because they don't like coffee. They like tea.
Fantastic. That was brilliant. That was brilliant, brother. All right. Caleb, you have been working very hard to wake people up, but more importantly, get them plugged in so they're actually being involved. Talk a little bit about the John Birch Society and what is going on here, what the Red Pill Festival really is about, not what the London Times is going to say it's about.
Yeah, so I'm the regional field director for the John Birch Society. I cover the entire western region, so I've got 11 states under me. And our mission is really to organize people, to educate them, and to get them working together on very specific agenda items designed to take back this country from the socialist utopia that they're attempting to create. All right? You look at that, and socialism is just a failed political ideology. It's never worked in any single country it's ever been implemented.
But we're just not doing it right.
No, we're not doing it right. And, you know, I have this idea, Matt, of I want to actually petition Michael Moore to do a documentary where we actually do an exchange program with some of our, you know, soy-drinking, latte-sipping, you know, tight-jean, skinny-jean-wearing socialists, and we send them over to Cuba with Michael Moore, and we bring some of their freedom fighters back here, you know, people who actually appreciate liberty, individual rights and things, and we document it. We see how well they do. My prediction is Michael Moore is going to lose a whole bunch of weight because there's no better weight loss system out there than communism.
Indeed, especially if you're not next to the kitchen in the camp. I just confirmed, I just looked over, and indeed, one of the London Times reporters is wearing skinny jeans, so that is hilarious. I almost started laughing there. I want to talk about the platform that is essentially what these guys stand for. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and that pretty much describes their platform. Abortion, right, socialism, and critical race theory. I want you to talk a little bit about where you think this is headed as far as their policies are concerned, but more importantly, how do we check this? Because everybody's always asking, what do I do, what do I do, what do I do? You tell them, and then they're like, well, nobody told me what we should do. And that's not really true.
You know, Matt, you and I have been friends a long time, and we've worked in the same political circles. And I remember on many occasions where you and I would be sitting down saying, what's it going to take to wake these people up? Well, apparently it was 2020. You know, I'm very fond of saying great oppression breeds great opportunity. And that's currently what we are experiencing right now. The, you know, 2020 extending into 2021, they've pushed too far. People, Americans are rejecting socialism. Americans are rejecting mandatory vaccinations and face masks and all this garbage, right? And they're hungry. They're looking for solutions. And that's something the John Birch Society is able to provide so well. You know, you don't even have to be the best educated person to know when somebody is lying to you, right? It's instinctual, right? You can feel it in your gut. And when people are watching the mainstream media, the talking heads, the politicians, they know they're being lied to.
Or they're just the pretender on any given day.
Yeah, absolutely. You can tell that you're being lied to, and you're hungry for the truth. And that is our only weapon, truth. That is our weapon. And if we constantly promote truth, we're going to be on the winning side of this, regardless of what the leftists attempt to do.
Now, they try to paint Patriots as some sort of acute, antiquated notion, and we just haven't caught up with the elucidated elites, you know. And really, what is happening, I think, is a restoration of first principles. Let's talk a little bit about that, because, you know, 10 years ago, people would have thought critical race theory. I mean, that's stuff for like Louis Farrakhan. And here we are talking about it in the mainstream as if it is shouldn't even be on the table of discussion.
Yeah, you know, this is it's funny, the leftists, that they believe that people actually want to be like them. And nobody wants to be Neville Chamberlain. Everybody wants to be Winston Churchill, right? And you look at the movies, right, that are popular. You know, you've got a Braveheart and The Matrix and all these other movies, you know, V for Vendetta, where you have the hero standing against some tyrannical form of government, right? And that's the ones that people celebrate. It's not the ones that are compromising. It's not the cowards. And so nobody wants to be part of the left. They want to be part of the winning team, and that's Patriots, right? We're exciting to be around. People want to be with us because we are the winners.
We've already won in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen to that as well.
I love the fact that actually it's fun. And we've seen this. There's more people here, probably five times more people here than any given Joe Biden rally. It's really nice. And it's in rural Montana, you know. We're seeing people come out of the woodwork now to say, okay, all right, I want to do something. What should they be doing? What should people actually be doing right now? What should they be investing their time, their energy, and their resources into?
Absolutely. So in the 2 years that I've worked for the John Birch Society, we've seen our membership increase by over 500%. All right. And that's because we are the one organization, in my opinion, that actually can herd cats. You know, and I say that in jest, but generally speaking, the left is very, very well organized, whereas conservatives, we traditionally have not been. Well, you come into the John Birch Society, you join as a member, it's super cheap. You can literally join for $7.25 a month. That's nothing, right? $22 every quarter or $87 a year. That's the options for you. You're going to get really well organized. You're going to be working on very specific agenda items designed to restore this republic and to educate friends and family and neighbors and elected representatives on what the Constitution actually says. And, you know, the Bible says, "My people perish from a lack of knowledge." Well, if we don't understand the Constitution, we're going to lose it. We're going to lose those natural rights that God gave us that the Constitution actually secures.
But, Caleb, we just need to amend the Constitution to make it better, right?
Oh, yeah, right, exactly, yeah. Let's amend the Constitution, because that's not dangerous at all, because people fail to recognize that the states get to send their delegates to this convention, as it were, and what kind of delegates is California, New Jersey, and New York going to be sending. But something I brought up in my speech that seemed to resonate with the audience here is I asked everybody in the audience, how many identify as a Christian? And pretty much every hand went up, right? And I said, okay, can we as Christians agree that no one's following the Bible these days?
Well, most people really have a struggle with it, yes.
Yeah. And so my solution is to amend the Bible. And, yeah, it was silence, right? Crickets. Yeah, exactly. People already throw me out as a heretic. But the same principle applies here. The Bible isn't broken. People just aren't following it. The Constitution isn't broken. People just aren't following it.
I love that analogy, because all of a sudden it just went click. And actually, the CONCON, the Constitutional Convention, this is this supposed solution, has really only been promoted by rhinos. And that's what I see. So, because rhinos are in charge of some of these states to send delegates to, of course that's what they want to do. Virtually none of them are constitutional experts if they've read it at all. And if you ask them, what is the purpose of the Constitution, they couldn't answer that, because the purpose of the Constitution is...
secure rights.
Secure rights.
It's so simple, right? And you know, it's amazing. I think you're the one who told me that it's a great question to ask politicians. And I've tried it numerous times now, and you get so many different answers out there. It's hilarious. And you're just looking for to secure rights. That's it. Period.
Period.
Good answer. I'll vote for you now.
Right. That's it. I had somebody actually do that to me in my first campaign when I was doorbelling. I walked up to a friend of mine named Randall, and that he walks out. He meets me in the driveway, like coming. I didn't even let me to get to the door. And he says, "Before you say anything, what is the purpose of government?" And I answered, and he said, "You are the first person to ever answer that, right?" And I would like to talk to you further, you know. And then he got into questions, you know. It was awesome. Let's talk a little bit, too, about the John Birch Society in fighting back at the local level against critical race theory, against Common Core, and also against this this smear tactic of, you know, they're so devoid of intellect they can never really have an argument because they'll always lose. So immediately, you're a racist. Oh, wait. The John Birch Society is racist. Actually, it was the first organization that got attacked in the fashion that we're seeing Trump being attacked in.
That's so true. I mean, if you are being if you get tired now of being called a Nazi or a fascist or a racist or a sexist and all these other things, right? And you get sick and tired of seeing President Trump called these as well. Well, we've been called this since the 60s, right? So we know what it is, and we identify it for exactly what it is. It's a Saul Alinsky tactic. It's designed because, as you just said, they cannot win in a debate because truth is on our side. So they're going to lose every single time. And because of that, they've been trained that if they're losing, to call you a racist, because it's designed to put you back on your heels, to take you away from the argument, to now prove to them, and you'll never be able to do it, but to prove to them, I'm not a racist because I've got a black friend or whatever it is, right? No, you sidestep that ridiculous attack and you drill them with the truth and you're going to win.
Every single time. I think it's very important to ask them a question, didn't you know this? And then come right back to the point, because all they're trying to do is get away from the center of everything. Critical race theory. 10 years ago, we would never have thought that something relegated to Louis Farrakhan would come back. Now it's here. How do we combat this at the local level? Everybody likes to focus on the, or at least most people like to focus on the federal level. How do we fight this at the local level? Because that's where it's implemented.
You know, in my opinion, it's pretty easy. Once again, nobody really wants to be around a leftist because they're no fun. Imagine you're at a family picnic, and there's that one relative, you know, cousin so-and-so, and they're always depressed. And they're always, oh, woe is me. My life is terrible. You know, everything's going wrong. Apply that to leftism right now. Oh, America is so evil. Oh, it's built on systemic racism. And we over on the conservative side of things, you know, us patriots, we're like, America is for winners, right? I'm winning all day long, right? I am living my life with individual liberty at the forefront of everything that I do. Government, don't tell me what to do. Don't dictate things. Don't tell me I need a license to fish and hunt and marry and all this garbage, right? Who wants to hang out with a loser when you can have a bowl full of winning right there? And that's what the John Birch Society is. So, you know, critical race theory, it's designed to divide us. It's designed to make people attack the wrong enemy. It's stirring people up, you know, oh, you're a Democrat, I'm a Republican, and you believe in critical race theory and I don't, so we're going to fight each other. Meanwhile, the puppeteers are laughing all the way to the bank because they're the real enemy. They want to bring down the downfall of America, because if America falls, so goes the rest of the world. There's nowhere else to go, nowhere else that can defend liberty.
You know, I never thought I would say this, but there's some folks in France who are standing up, you know, and serve as example to America. Australia, New Zealand.
England. Yeah, England. It's everywhere.
People are looking to America for leadership. They're looking for us to stand up and say enough is enough. And I think the Trump rallies are one way to say, yeah, there's a lot of Americans. This idea that we're in a minority just is not true. They want to make themselves look bigger than they actually are.
Yeah, and you know, that's good, right? Taking action like that. But a rally without follow-through is void. Right? We've got to ensure that we are so well-educated that they can never do this again, so that a rhino can't slip back in and take us down the wrong path. So the only way that we're going to actually successfully defend America is if we're educated on what the founding principles were. And the only way to really do that is to educate yourself. So join the John Birch Society.
And there's plenty of information. There's plenty of books that have been written on this. Jan Kozak, Not a Shot Fired. I mean, there are just so many that have been written on this. People are like, where do I start? What would you recommend as like the first top three books people should read to educate themselves about not just what the issues are, but how to get involved?
Yeah, so The Blue Book is definitely one of my big recommendations. The Law is probably one of the best books I've ever read in my life. And it's very short. It's very clear and concise. And then the last one, if you're interested in really knowing who John Birch was, The Life of John Birch. It's a fantastic book. You know, this Baptist minister who actually became a war hero by allowing John Doolittle and his men to escape from behind enemy lines. He led that mission, and he was killed by the communists, and the American government covered it up.
They absolutely covered it up. And it this was a pattern, right? They lied about Fidel Castro in Cuba. They lied about South America and Nelson Mandela. And people died. American Christian missionaries died directly as a result of this. Caleb, in the last minute we have left, if you could tell everyone where they can go to get more information, where they can go to get involved, and give your commentary, too, on confrontational politics.
Yeah, absolutely. So go to jbs.org, jbs.org, or thenewamerican.com. JBS.org, this is where you're going to be able to join us. There's a couple of options there, but it's extremely affordable. You know, while I'm at it, check out Church and State. That's the radio show that I do as well. And what was the...
Just the confrontational politics.
Confrontational
yeah.
politics. There we go. So confrontational politics, it is okay. In fact, it's acceptable to be confrontational in politics and in religion, especially when they're under direct attack. And I know a lot of people say, turn the other cheek, Caleb. But Jesus also told people, sell their cloak and buy a sword. The Bible tells us that there is a time for war and there's a time for peace. Well, right now we are in a time of war. We've got to defend this country. We've got to defend Christianity because we're going to lose it if we don't. And so in conclusion, I'll just close with my favorite tagline. Always remember the tree of liberty is most likely a birch.
Indeed. And this ideological war we're in, we can't just sit back and let them keep hammering us and let them keep hammering us. Oh, turn the other cheek has now become a rallying cry for apathy, a rallying cry for just sitting back and thinking we're just got to hold on long enough till we get out of here, or we just got to trust the plan, when in fact we are the plan and the John Birch Society is organizing the plan.
Amen. Thank you. Appreciate
all right.
It.
Caleb Collier, John Birch Society, thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Keep up the fight.
Thank you.
Well, it's my pleasure to introduce today Gabe Blomgren, worship leader at On Fire Ministries, but also he's going to be worshiping here at the Red Pill Festival. Gabe, thanks so much for joining me today.
Yeah, it's an honor. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about this. You know, I think there's a lot of movements that are out there that they're all about liberty, they're all about freedom, but they don't ever want to talk about God. And we do want to talk about
huge.
God, and it's a huge part of this. It has to be together.
Yeah, absolutely. We've seen that there's a huge push for what we call conservatism, and I just don't think that word has any representative meaning now with Christianity, because it's been so muddled, the word conservatism, and we're now at the point, Pastor Matt, where it's about preservatism. Like, we have to preserve the republic, we have to preserve morals. So I'm not just a conservative, I'm a Christian. And if you are part of a patriot organization or any type of like anything of meaning, if God is not attached to it, there's basically, it's like driving a Pinto, a Ford Pinto, little four cylinder, and expecting to win a race.
It's absolutely right. And we've talked many times, you know, we're on the offense. We shouldn't be preserving or conserving any. We're not holding ground. We're advancing.
Yep.
We're taking ground.
True.
For the kingdom of God. And worship is part of clearing the way ahead to do that. And I love the fact that the folks that put this whole event together, the Mitchells, wanted worship to be a central part of this because God is a central part of our country.
Yeah, when I got contacted by the organizer, he told me he was having Jordan Page, who I love. I've interviewed Jordan before, and his heart is huge for worship. And tonight, when we close this out, we're gonna praise the Lord. And Jordan and I have put our heads together on a worship set that glorifies God. And that's what we want to seal this tonight with, is we want to ask the Holy Spirit to be in all of our endeavors, every single part of it. I know that your ministry, I've always said that when you went to Olympia and you ran as a representative year after year, that was a ministry. And that's the same thing now that you're a pastor. It nothing changes as far as what our role is, but it has to be coded in worship. And I think what's cool is we're seeing that a lot of patriotic people, I'm talking hardcore gun bullet reloading people, and are now softening up to the power of the church, of worship, what it does. Because I think you know, we're seeing the farther we get down this road, we need tactically every arm in the fight. And one of those huge things that's overlooked, and it's not in the Bible, we see Moses, we see Joshua always having worshipers out in the front line. And that's something that you know about as a studier, you know, as somebody's astute in the Word. worship always had meaning. You know, Jehoshaphat, all these guys, they had worship in the Bible. So it's nothing new. It's just that we need to reclaim that.
I love the fact that Jordan Page is playing in the background of this interview. Yeah. That's so awesome. We right now, we need to understand that worship teaches. Worship has power in clearing the way, lifts off the spirit of heaviness. Caleb was saying earlier that, you know, liberals are no fun to be around. They're just not any fun to be around. But we're Americans. We're winners. And part of that, lifting that spirit of heaviness off, is actually singing. There's a lot of guys, yeah, though, that don't like to sing.
Well, what's funny is that the liberal, the left, they, do you know they actually have a worship team? It's U2. It's
MTV.
It's MTV. It's you know, Mick Jagger, during COVID, got out of his casket because he's halfway dead and wrote some song having to do about getting vaccinated. So Mick Jagger, he works for them. He's their worship leader. He's pushing an agenda just with his words, and it's happening all around. Lady Gaga, all these leftist nutballs, that's their form of worship. And it's eco worship, it's vaccine worship, it's you know, Gaia worship.
Yeah, worshiping the creation instead of the creator. Absolutely. Yeah. So tonight, what can people expect? Where should their hearts be? That's probably the better question. Where should their hearts be tonight as we close out the Red Pill Festival in worship?
I think the very statement that if my people would humble themselves, they repent, that inward inspection is first. That's first. I think, create in me a clean heart, O God. This is David, the worshiper of worshipers. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within everyone else. No, within me. So I think taking captive our thoughts, and one of them is defeatism. There's a huge spirit of defeatism on the church, on the Christian community. Oh, America, we should give up. She's guilty. There's blood on her hands. It's over. God needs to judge America. We need God to no, judge your heart, repent, start with you, and then we go forward from there. And then the next move is unity, when we as believers believe and hope together and then move.
And I love that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, but there's also unity. That's what ushers in unity, is the Spirit, and that's why worship's so important. Ushering in the presence of the Lord, ushering in Holy Spirit, that brings unity. Worship brings unity. I saw it in Ethiopia, two warring Christian tribes, tens of thousands of people worshiping together, and all of a sudden, hey, I don't know why we're fighting, let's have peace.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Gabe, in the last couple minutes here, as you've been walking around talking with people, right, what is the sense here? What is the sense that you're getting just talking with the different people? I mean, there's people from all different ethnicities and backgrounds here. It's actually a wonderful cross-section of America.
Yeah. I'm hearing all kinds of different, differing views, but the one thing we all have in common is our love for the Lord and God, and how I think that's the last bastion. I think because Donald Trump was out of the equation now, as far as him representing a major faction of people in the United States, all of our chips, so to speak, are in God. So we see Heather Scott speaking, who's representing, you know, she's still in the political game, in the fight, and we don't give up on her. And that's something that I always spoke over you. I will always be praying for you. And now you're a pastor. So I'm seeing we haven't given up completely on a political solution, but we've always realized that the problem isn't political, it's spiritual. So now all of our chips, you ever seen that move in movies where they take all the chips and put them in the poker table? All of our hope is in God. And that's actually the best place to be, wouldn't you agree?
I absolutely agree. And George Washington figured this out at the very onset of the American Revolution with the very first flag for the Washington Cruisers, which said, an appeal to heaven. That's all they ever really had. There's no king but Jesus. We have to appeal to him. And he is faithful. I think people think his promises are maybe some days, yeah, I don't know. No, his promises are real. His promises are consistent. His promises are eternal. We just need to declare them and stand on them.
Yeah, that's good.
Gabe, you guys have a radio show. If you could mention the radio show, where can people go to find out more about that as well?
Yeah, we're on ACN at 10:30 every single day. Caleb has been holding down the fort without me. This is the first time I've even been on the radio in a long time. But we, this coming this fall, I'm going to be in full time with Caleb, but it's called Church and State. It's on ACN, and we thank Tom Reed for his support always. And then also, we're on Spotify. If you want to join part of our subscription, you can find us on Spotify. Just look up Church and State Radio. You'll find us on Spotify, iTunes. You can also find us on, what is it, Anchor Radio, Anchor Podcast. So, yeah, and then we have more plans in the future for Church and State, so God is up to something good.
Amen, he is. Gabe Blomgren, worship leader at On Fire Ministries, also Church and State radio show. You need to check that out if you get a chance. Thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today. God bless you, man. Keep up the fight. It's my pleasure to introduce Afshin Yagtin. He is a pastor at New Covenant Baptist Church in Spokane, but I think more importantly, he actually was arrested for preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today here at the wonderful Red Pill Festival.
Thank you, Matt. Great to be on with you.
So let's talk a little bit. Tell the listeners what happened to you, what was going on kind of surrounding it, and then we'll get into your message.
Absolutely. I mean, it's been a little while now because this was back in 2019, June 2019. So I'm trying to put all the pieces together at this point, but I knew that the drag queens were coming to Spokane, and this is something that we would normally see in somewhere like New York, or, you know, I mean, this was semi-conservative Spokane, and I just thought, you know, we have to show up. And, you know, I wasn't just there to protest. I mean, I can kind of say that now that the case is pretty much over. Really, I wanted to be there to minister to people. That was the goal. But ultimately, I wanted to stop the thing. I wanted to sit in and to be able to say, look, we're not going to let drag queens, grown men dressed up as women, to read this to children.
But you were really accused of all kinds of stuff.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, you were accused of being a hater. We'll get to the race issue here in a sec. You were accused of being a hater, and you must just hate them all, when in fact, you had a completely different message. Go ahead and tell the listeners about that.
Yeah, I mean, anybody can be saved and believe the gospel. And this was, you know, my intention there was to go in and to pray for people, to pray for the kids, just to be a presence and a light, you know, for those children. So that was really my intent. I didn't have any specific plan other than just show up and do what God says kind of a thing, you know, but it was wild. I mean,
it was wild. And then you were bringing the truth. Look, God's word is really clear on this issue. It's
yes.
Very clear.
Right.
And you brought that message here today. I didn't see anybody really uncomfortable. They're like, yeah, that's what the scripture, some people didn't know the scripture said that's a separate issue. But standing on God's truth is about love ultimately.
It is. I mean, it's the truth, you know, and so speaking the truth is love. And so really when I speak from the Bible, that's God's love message to the world. It's not hate. They accuse us of hate. I've been accused of being a white supremacist of all things, you know.
And where do you come from?
Iran. So I'm not white, that's for sure.
Well, I think that's what's so unique. I mean, they're calling that, you know, Larry Elder. And yeah, I mean, it's just, this is getting, it's really getting ridiculous. And,
yeah.
And I think the appropriate word is asinine from the Latin. So I really believe that we have a chance now to educate people like never before. They've woke up. Okay, what is the truth? They want to know the answer to that question. How are you addressing that? And what truths do you think are key for Americans to know today?
Well, a part of that truth is that we are in a position in America where fighting in the natural isn't going to do it anymore. Like, it is impossible in the natural. Like, we are up behind a wall right now. We're at the end of the road. And if we don't have God by our side fighting this battle with us, we're not going to win. And it's going to be over. You know, we have to start with God as our foundation. And specifically, not just any God, but as you know, I'm a pastor, we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven. There is no other way. And so we do need Jesus specifically.
People ask me all the time, what's the solution to everything in our country? It's one word, Jesus.
Amen.
And it has to be that, right?
Yeah.
Did you ever believe that when you came to the United States that you would ever see a time when Christians would be arrested for preaching God's truth?
No, I mean, like I said today, the America that I grew up in is radically different than the one that I'm witnessing today. And, you know, I was up last night looking at my notes for today's message, and I'm looking at it going, you know, I'm talking about racism, I'm talking about the LGBT and drag queens, and I'm like, God, what are you trying to do to me here, you know? So I was kind of nervous, but I think it was okay.
I hope you give the message in Olympia someday, really loudly. Well, I think that's the key part of this. People will focus on just that one message.
Right.
But you always tie it back to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that he ultimately is our theology. He ultimately is the relationship. He ultimately is the solution. All of those things. And people say it can't be that simple, but it really actually is that simple.
It really is. It's the starting point. If we don't have Jesus, we have nothing. You know, it comes down to eternal life. And what we're going to, you know, whether we're going to receive Jesus or reject him in this life.
So here at the Red Pill Festival, you've been talking to a whole bunch of different people. What's the sense here? What kind of, as you've just bantered with folks and got to know them, what's the sense here? What do you feel as you're walking around?
Man, just a lot of love. I mean, I don't see white supremacy here in any way. You know, just a lot of love, a lot of camaraderie, a lot of truth. People that are hungry for other people to stand up for truth. You know, part of my message today is, where are all the red-blooded Americans? You know, where are you guys at? Like, I need your help. You know, we need you guys to stand, right? So I know you have, I know men of God that have, but in large, it's missing. And so where are all the patriots fighting for America?
You know, I think that's a really good point. The color that we should be worried about is the color red. It's the blood that, amen, Jesus shed for us, and it's the blood we all share.
Amen. Amen.
I love that. So, Pastor Afshin, in the next 2 minutes that we have, tell listeners a little bit about your church, where you're at, and where people can go get a little bit more information and really go educate themselves on the truth as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are in Spokane, closer to the South Hill, heading towards Cheney. The Cheney Spokane exit area. You can go to newcovenantbaptist.org, and my phone number is on there. You can give me a call, and we can chat, and people are welcome to our church. I preach from the King James Bible, something that not a lot of people are doing nowadays, you know, but I like those words, you know, the like abomination and words that have been taken out of the Bible that are maybe too strong for today's audience.
Yeah, I know when you preach out of Deuteronomy, it can get you in trouble sometimes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. It doesn't matter. You know, I remember one guy tried to ambush me on the radio, and he says, "Do you believe that?" And I said, "It doesn't matter what I believe.
Right.
That's what it says in the original Hebrew. Have you read it?" "No." "Well, go read it." You know.
Absolutely.
So I want to end too with a quick exhortation. If you could give a quick exhortation to everybody that's going to be listening to the show about what we as Christians and patriots can do in this time.
I mean, first and foremost, make sure you're saved. Make sure you've been born again. Make sure you really know the Lord Jesus, and that you've bowed the knee to him and made him your Lord and your Savior. I mean, that's number one. That's the foundation. We need Jesus to stand in the gap for us at the judgment seat. And so, If you haven't done that, that is the first step. If you have done that, you need to become dedicated to God and become a disciple and preach the gospel and take a stand for God. I mean, we need it badly. We are badly outnumbered here today.
You know, we as Christians, right, if we have the Lord in us, right, we really never, I mean, people... But we really never are outnumbered, right? Because we have him. And that's what I love. We're on the offense, right? We're taking ground. That's what I love about the Red Pill today. And I want to thank you for everything you've done, standing your ground, even when it cost you something. A lot of people, if it's going to cost them something, they don't want to do it, but it cost you. And you stood your ground and you won because God vindicated you. He is our vindicator. So thank you for everything you've done. Thank you for your courage.
Amen. Thank you, brother. God bless you. And thank you for taking a stand as well. You've been an encouragement and an inspiration. So appreciate it.
Pastor Afshin Yagtin, he is with New Covenant Baptist out there in Cheney. Check out his website. Thank you very much for joining me on Patriot Radio today again, and keep up the fight.
Thank you, Matt.
My next guest, it's a pleasure, very much a pleasure to introduce John Jacob Schmidt, founder of the American Readout Radio Operators Network, host of Radio Free Readout, which airs every weekday, 7 a.m. across the entire Liberty Broadcasting Network. JJ, it's great to have you on again, man. It's been a while.
It's great to be with you as well. And man, we've got custom music here, private.
I know.
Live music from rocker Jordan Page. This is great.
It's like theme music in the background, man.
I love it.
Well, let's talk a little bit. There have been a lot of things going on in Cuba.
Yeah.
And AMRON has actually kind of been at the center of some of this stuff as far as getting out what's really going on and some lessons learned out of Cuba that may apply to American patriots in the future. So, first of all, what's going on in Cuba and what do we know right now?
Well, about 2 weeks ago, the citizens rose up against the communist regime. They're starving. They're lacking medical care. Their quality of life is shrinking. Their access to outside goods is being depleted, and they've had enough. Something snapped, and one thing led to another. Through a social media kind of organized uprising, the people rose up against the communist regime. So now they're being told, or we're being told by the legacy media, that the people are upset about the government's COVID response.
Right.
Which is a joke, because especially now as we're finding out, it is communism. They're saying, down with communism, we want freedom, and they're waving American flags. It is strictly about the communist issue. And of course, this regime, the Biden regime, they're saying, well, it's because of past U.S. policies restricting goods going in there. But what we're finding out through people that are connected to the Cubans and information that's been leaked out of there is that it's actually the Cuban government who has been restricting goods. They're the ones, it's the Cuban government that has been confiscating when you bring too many pounds of flour or sugar or whatever, you're only allowed so much. And it's the Cuban government that's confiscating it from people.
You mean a communist dictatorship was rationing supplies?
It is hard to believe. Yeah, so they're anyway, so what's happening with this, since this uprising, is that the government in Cuba has been, they've been rounding up, arresting, or disappearing, and in many cases executing those that they've identified as key players and instigators, dare I say, insurrectionists, and yeah, so including pastors, this information has been leaked out because one particular ham radio operator. Well, let me back up one. The government started cutting off social media for the people in Cuba to be able to get information out. This was for two reasons. First of all, it was to disrupt the command and control between the organizers among the Cuban people. And the second part of that was to prevent the government's actions from being leaked out, from what's really happening on the ground, to interrupt the Cuban people's ability to inform the rest of the world about what's happening. So what they did, though, there's something that's called comms or communications or comms herding.
I want everybody to remember that phrase, communication herding. It's critical to understanding what they're trying to do here in the U.S., but also what they're doing in these foreign countries.
Yeah, this is actually something that is actually in the manuals, our signals intelligence countermeasures manuals, and it's called comms herding. So what that means is there's so much to track. There's Facebook, there's Twitter, there's Instagram and Telegram and all of these other platforms, social media platforms. It's almost impossible to track all of it, especially for a regime like the Cuban government. So what they do is what's called comms herding, and they shut everything down. They shut down Facebook. They shut down Telegram. They shut down Instagram. All of these social media platforms except one. And Twitter. Twitter they left up.
That's so weird.
Right. And there's a reason for that. Because, first of all, it's much more manageable to be able to pay attention to what's being said among the your opponent if they're only using one platform to communicate. Secondly, Twitter is second to none. There are open source tools and resources out there that you can use by putting filters in and reading algorithms, so you can pick up on trends. You can find out who key players are, in the different tiers. You know, your top level leadership, secondary, and then street level, and so on.
So let me stop you there if I can, yeah. Just because I think this is critical. It doesn't necessarily matter the content of the communication as much as who and how frequently they're talking, right, and how much influence that they have as far as it's spreading or the message spreading.
Yeah, well, that's a slightly different matter. In this case, Twitter is wide out in the open, right? It is not; it's accessible for the public. Anybody can follow Twitter and follow Twitter users, and there's nothing encrypted or hidden. It's all right out there. Hey, guys, we're moving down from A Street to C Street. You know, meet us there at 1 p.m. So that's right out in the open. Now, there are other what you're talking about. Even with secure platforms like maybe Wire or Signal and some of these others, there's metadata. And so that identifies the device you're using, which can also be connected to the user, you know, whoever was registered that with that cell phone or that laptop. And so they can find out what time communications took place. They might not be able to read the content, but they know what cell phone tower that was routed through and what other communications were taking place. So this is all called metadata, and they can use that to hone down. Even if they don't know the content or what's being said, they know this guy's a key player and he's in contact with these two guys, and these two guys are in contact with 20 other people. Here's our arrest list. So what's happened is once the Cuban people started realizing what's happening and communications were cut off, we have ham operators now. These are licensed amateur radio operators in Cuba. And I've had contact with radio operators in Cuba in the past. They're allowed to use amateur radio communications. So we have Cuban immigrants, people with Cuban backgrounds, living in places like Florida. One in particular, his name's Alex. And he's really been leading the way on getting information out from Cuba, both from social media and ham operators. But then this is what happened. The Cuban government began jamming the amateur radio frequencies that the Cubans were talking to the American, Cuban immigrants who are now nationalized and American citizens.
Exactly.
So they're getting this information out. The government did not, interestingly enough, the Cuban government has not banned amateur radio. They're just jamming it wherever the Cubans are discussing what's happening in Cuba. Now, so we, in Amron, we were able to use this as a real-world experiment training. This is a real-world operation where you've got a real communist country. It's like Cold War era stuff, where you have an actual communist country jamming radio communications from patriots who are trying to get the word out about atrocities that are happening. And so we use the opportunity to experiment with what are known as digital modes, where we can send text and text messages and emails and stuff back and forth. So we tested on these bands where the communist Cubans were jamming. And we were able to successfully communicate using digital modes, where the voice modes, it was unusable. They could not. In this case, it was like a pulsating, warbling, screeching type of sound that goes right over top of your voice, and it's almost impossible, if not impossible, to copy what the other guy is saying to you. But when we were able to send text using the digital modes, that was going through. And we had operators in South Carolina and Georgia and Florida testing digital communications back and forth successfully in the middle of jamming signals.
That's incredible. That's huge. That's a huge deal. And I think it's an encouragement to those Cubans that are over there that are freedom fighters that they can communicate without being targeted by the platform that they're actually communicating through.
Yeah, absolutely. Indeed. So, you know, there's also a lot to be said about using encrypted apps. I mean, They might have metadata to find out who's talking to whom, which can be valuable to an adversary. I don't know how feasible it is to employ burner phones, if you will, anonymous, no-contract phone systems. But that's where, you know, that'd be the wisest way to go for those folks if they have that capability. But right now, it's, you know, it's they're bouncing around on the ham radio bands, and the Cuban government is chasing them. So when they switch frequencies and continue their conversation, within just a few seconds, they're jamming them again. So they're following, they're actively, this is called, you know, active jamming. So they're monitoring, they're following them when they move, and they're continuously jamming them.
I found it interesting that they didn't ban ham radios, but what they did is they just said, okay, yeah, you could use them, and then we're going to jam that frequency.
Right, go ahead, use them.
Right.
You know, so I think because amateur radio is so widely supported around the world, you start to kind of get in, you're already they're acting unlawfully by jamming amateur radio. Now, every country has the right to shut down amateur radio operations in their area. You can only communicate with operators in another country because of agreements. Their government has agreed to allow amateur radio communications within these certain frequencies. And so it can vary country by country, but mostly it's standardized. But I think you could have a lot of international pushback if they start, you know, interfering. But really, then again, I don't think communists care. So it is very, very peculiar why they wouldn't just outright ban amateur radio use in Cuba.
It is. You know, I found it interesting that the same flag that's being desecrated by, you know, the U.S. soccer team and denigrated by the U.S. soccer team, women's soccer team, right. Is the symbol of free. You go anywhere in the world, right? And right. There's a freedom rally. It's the American flag that is a symbol of freedom. We're seeing that in Cuba, right. Actually in South Africa right now as well.
Cuba, South Africa, Hong Kong, they're flying the American flag calling for freedom. And what's also interesting is that this Homeland Security director, leaving our border completely wide open, is telling Cubans, if you come here, you'll be turned away. You will not come here.
So they just need to pretend they're from Central America or something?
I'm from Nicaragua. I just say that, I guess.
They want to vote Democrat, and they'll come right across the border.
I think they're just afraid of people that are anti-communist coming to America.
Who have experienced it firsthand in their generation.
Yeah, because they're going to be bringing their testimonies with them about what it's like under communism. And so the current Department of Homeland Security is saying, oh, we can't have that.
That's exactly right. I think that's exactly what's going on with this. There is a resurgence in America right now. I've seen it in the last 6 months even. Some people right after January 6th are just kind of down and everything was. But there's really been a resurgence. I've seen a lot more people getting involved, a lot more people waking up. What would be your message to them today, and especially as American patriots? You know, we're looked at around the world, like, what are we going to do?
Right.
Seeing stuff happening in France and Australia and New Zealand, and people are asking, what are we going to do? And so that's the question. What are we going to do? What should we be doing?
Well, what we should be doing is stop being afraid. Really, this is the bully counts on you fearing him. As soon as you challenge the bully, he gets in your face, you know, and, oh, I'm going to beat you up. You want to fight? You know, and so he counts on you being intimidated and cowering. I think this regime is afraid of the patriots not being afraid anymore. And right now they are. I mean, you see what happened after January 6th and so on. I think that the patriots are kind of, they're going, laying low. They're worried, you know, now there's this, we're all being accused of being extremists, domestic terrorists, and what have you. And nobody wants to be labeled with that. So they're kind of going gray, man. But, you know, eventually, the person, the victim of the bully, finally gets to the point where they've had enough. And I think the rest of the world is, that's what they're looking at. They're looking at the American patriots. They saw the patriots turn out in American cities in response to Antifa and Black Lives Matter when they were burning our streets, and they showed up armed as a deterrent. And it deterred the burning and looting in many American cities, like we're seeing in South Africa right now. It's armed citizens showing up that is the sole deterrent. I think that the rest of the freedom-loving people around the rest of the world are kind of watching and waiting to see what the patriots are going to do in America. They've seen what has been identified by most of the rest of the world as a coup. They saw patriots rise up, what they expected to see as American patriots. But then they saw this hammer come down on American patriots. And I think the whole world's kind of holding their breath, wondering what's going to happen next.
You know, and I think for us, this is a good place to be, right? You know, Caleb was talking about the fact, you know, he was thinking, oh, maybe I should have been born in 1776. No, man, we were born for this time right now.
Absolutely.
In the last couple minutes that we've got left, if you could, tell listeners where they can go to learn more about AMRON, what they should be doing, too, with their friends and family and educating them on, you know, the real threats that we're facing in the country, too.
Yeah, I think that right now, for me personally, being with AMRON, we gravitate more toward unconventional communications. And I think that we saw a big influx of membership in people joining AMRON right after January 6th, after they saw the Patriots have their communications cut off, your cell phones, your social media being deplatformed, servers being brought down. So people are looking at alternative communications. If somebody else sets the server down and I can't communicate, what's another way I can communicate that somebody can't, they can't just turn a server off. They can't just cancel my account. And amateur radio, you know, has given us that ability. So I think focusing on alternative communications is going to be super important. But we've been doing AMRON for now going on 10 years, and you can go to amron.com to learn more. That's AMRRON.com. And Radio Free Redoubt, the Sunday night podcast that we do, June 5th, we turn 10 years old. So, and then also my wife, known by most of the listeners out there as Lady Liberty, we have the morning commute each morning, 7 a.m., and you can go to radiofreeredoubt.com and click on that Listen to RFR tab, and that'll open a page where you can see all the different ways that you can listen, including our archived shows.
Nothing like celebrating freedom here in beautiful St. Regis, Montana, right in the middle of the American Readout.
Amen. Absolutely.
John Jacob Schmidt, founder of American Readout Radio Operators Network and host of Radio Free Readout. Thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Blessings to you. Blessings to Renee. Keep up the fight.
God bless you. Thanks for having me.
We're sitting here listening at the end of the show here to Jordan Page, and, you know, our penalty for silence, that's what he's talking about right now. Our penalty for being apathetic is losing everything that we hold dear. Sitting on the couch thinking there's some sort of plan out there that we just need to hold on long enough and we're going to get out of here. No, it depends on us right now. It depends on us right now in this sense. Jesus Christ working through each one of us as Christians is the only thing that's ever really, truly changed the world. And so we're not going to be seeing things changed if we're sitting on the couch. We're not going to be seeing things changed if we just think somebody else is going to take care of it for us. What did I do when the call came? What did I do when the Republic was threatened? What did I do when they were coming for my family, when they were coming for my business, when they were coming for my very way of life? And if you want to extend this according to the gospel, we should love our neighbors. So what did I do when they came for my neighbor's family? What did I do when they came for my neighbor's stuff? What did I do when they came for my neighbor's business, for his church, for his children, for his future? What did I do? Did I sit and wait? Or did I step out as every generation of Americans before me? Did I step out to defend freedom and liberty, regardless of the cost? Too often today, people are thinking about the cost of this, instead of realizing that Jesus answered this question so many years ago in the parable of the pearl of great price. We are the pearl in this. And he paid the greatest price for each one of us. He paid the greatest price. He was willing to lay his life down for each one of us to cover us in his blood so we could be with him for eternity. And he asks each one of us to lay down our lives for our friends so that they may know freedom in him. Christians around the world, in China, the former Soviet Union, Cuba, South Africa even today, Europe, have experienced something many of us in America really have never experienced, and that is persecution. Some people think persecution is a negative thing, but when the fire actually happens and you walk through the fire, that is the best testimony that you could possibly ever have. The best testimony. But you've got to walk through the fire to have it. Many people don't want to walk through the fire. But if you're an American, that is something that we should expect to do, is walk through the fire, coming out on the other side victorious in Christ Jesus, victorious for our families, victorious for our communities, victorious for our country. Today, at the end here of the Red Pill Festival, and the end of the show today, I want every single one of you to ask this question of yourselves, of your family, of your friends. What am I willing to do right now? What should I be doing right now? Ask the Lord. He'll direct you. But do something. Because we, as a country, exist as a government of the people, the temple of the Holy Spirit being the body of the believer and the Holy Spirit operating through that, governing a country. And I thank you so much, everyone that has listened to Patriot Radio here over the years. I thank you so much to everybody that has fought for freedom, that has sacrificed so very much, that have done so without getting any accolades or getting in the media or anything like that. But you've walked that steady fight for freedom. I ask for you right now that you would continue to walk in perseverance so that you not only win the prize in eternity, but we win the prize here on earth of liberty. This is Matt Shea. Thank you very much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Keep up the fight.